as we gather together.
Reverend Billy, my friend, you know that many people have cast aspersions upon this very show. That many of the blasphemes and irreverent utterances that have flown and sprung from the loincloths of the fabrics that weave this very program
have suggested.
I'm very proud. I'm very proud of your crusade. I know that you have what it takes to face the withering criticism of right-wing apocalyptic Christians who lurk in the shadows and even in broad daylight there in Houston, Texas. You're heroes to me. Heroes.
Well, I you have moved from Starbucks into the Goldman Sachs to cast out the demons of greed and occupation as of late.
We had a trial in Zuccotti Park. The jury was led by Cornel West and by Christopher Hedges.
Whoa.
And they determined that Goldman Sachs owes the American people $87 billion immediately. Amen. Praise be. Pay up. We presented our bill at the front door of Goldman Sachs. And then we locked our arms and got into a circle, nice little cozy circle. The solidarity was great until it wasn't solid anymore, until I was being hauled into the paddy wagon.
You know, Reverend Billy, as a man of God, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm not a big follower of your religion. I happen to believe that Jesus, not only being the Son of God, Jesus, while preaching about the poor, was all about helping the rich.
Well, I think that his assistant, his Colonel Parker was the Apostle Paul who, you know, got all those franchises going on around the Mediterranean. Jesus himself was more like Elvis, you know. He just kept doing his thing in ladies' living rooms and on the hillsides and so forth. He just kept his song moving through the population. And then the Apostle Paul picked up on it and turned it into the Starbucks of its era. So I just disagree with you, brother. You know, that's all right.
Well, what you're preaching is not congruent with America's belief that houses are to be built to store really cool stuff. I mean, what do you and your followers have against houses with really cool stuff in it?
Well, sometimes the stuff, you know, there's so much stuff now that sometimes you don't have any room for making love anymore, and that's our main concern, is that you can hurt yourself, you know, if you really get into some frenzied love making, amen, praise be, you can get a toy or something stuck in your back, and it hurts, hallelujah. So, you know, we have to have some room in our homes, and anti-consumerism and anti-militarism, you know, get the guns and the toys. Get the cars and the couches. Get that stuff. Too much stuff, amen, praise be. And it's all fossil fuel. It's all evil. It's evil. All that. It's just all made from plastics, amen, praise be. Just get, you know, don't buy it, people. Don't buy it, hallelujah.
Well,
split your credit cards in half. Get out of that debt situation. Get into the gift economy. Get into simple exchanges with people. Simplify your life so that your homes can be open fields of halcyonic lovemaking. Yes, that's what we need to do. It's just we touch each other. We need polyamorousness in the home. Amen. Hallelujah.
Dan's all for that.
I thought you'd agree with me, see?
I know.
My sermon brought you across the line,
Thank
brother.
You. Thank you.
How many followers do you have, Reverend Billy?
Throngs.
It's never been determined.
Do you call your fellow followers communists and comrades?
We've got some people who are out there in the world who Facebook, which is partially owned by Goldman Sachs, I understand. Yeah.
And again, if Jesus was here today, I think it'd be safe to say that he'd probably be the CEO of Goldman Sachs. These are the job creators in America. What do you and your left-wing radical followers have against people making a few million dollars as CEOs, as venture capitalists? What do you, I mean, these are the men and women who create the jobs here in America, Reverend Billy. Why are you against these people?
It's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by recent studies at various think tanks in capital cities that rich people do not create jobs. They ensure permanent, flaccid unemployment, aimlessness, homelessness. They kick you out of your homes. If they find you in your house, they kick you out. And so we've got areas of Queens right now that are like military zones. It's just plywood in all the buildings. They're like Detroit. They're like New Orleans. It's just Jamie Dimon, one of your billionaire friends that you love so much, he comes in there. His friend Blythe Masters at the commodities desk at J.P. Morgan Chase, she invented credit derivative swaps.
They'll just come in your neighborhood.
They'll kick you all out of your houses.
What's wrong with...
You're out on the streets, and then they won't give you a job.
Well, again,
I don't think anybody believes, anybody listening, I think the number of people believing what you just said, that evil quotation that just came over the phone here into the New York City area on my cell phone, I should go down into Times Square right now and put it on speakerphone, and people would just start laughing at what you said.
Well, I would appreciate if you did put me on speakerphone so I can tell your fellow comrades, you secular, godless hippies, that we live...
You need to go to Crawford, Texas, and shoot yourself. I don't know what you're going to do.
We live in...
In all fairness, Glenn's a Jew, Billy, and we know how they feel about banks.
There are two things that you should know about America.
When's the last time anybody said that? When's the last time anybody had the guts to say that? Amen, praise be. I love you, brother. I forgive you.
Well,
they know not what they do.
I cannot forgive.
Stop shopping, brother. Stop the shopping. Stop sucking up to your billionaire friends. Tell me what you believe.
We actually one time dated.
Well, you can get married now.
Not here in Texas, thank God. I'm also against gay marriage. But I will tell you that this country was founded on the two C's, Christianity and capitalism, and you seem to be anti-both. I think I said Christianity.
No, listen. Christians are good people. They can be good people. I mean, any religion can be good. It's just that you've got to believe in Jesus Christ without Jesus Christ. I mean, I can worship Scooter. I can be in the church of Scooter, but I've got to also be in the church that doesn't have Scooter. Simultaneously, I want to buy that product, but I don't need that product. I want to steal that product. You got to be able to control things.
Reverend, in the church of Scooter, I will actually answer your questions and your prayers or whatever you need. So in the church of Scooter, it's almost like I'm really there.
Scooter's a real,
I got it all over
special,
Christ.
You know, he's up at the altar, kind of floating there.
Yeah.
He's on the inner side of the altar. Scooter's a real voice in the wilderness, saving souls right and left.
And you know,
he doesn't know what to do with them.
You know who else saves souls? Who else saves souls is free market capitalists.
Scooter, are you there? Are you like sleeping on the floor of the studio? What's going on here?
We're talking with Glenn Urbach, who's playing a right wing talk show host at the moment.
Have a little fun
with the great Reverend Billy.
Hallelujah. Well, he got me excited.
He's doing a great job.
What? Do we not understand that this country is built on people buying stuff? What possible reason would you have against people going into massive amount of debt to buy DVDs, TVs, and cars? I do not understand why you all are against people buying crap.
You gotta, change your line of attack here. You just asked me that very same question. Brother Glenn, We believe in gift economies in the Church of Stuff Shopping. We think that that's the beginning of communal creativity, the beginning of peace, the beginning of loving the earth, and the beginning of having enough room in your house because you've kicked the stuff out, you never bought it in the first place, that we can make love to each other. Amen. Praise be. I answered you before, and I sense the audience in this church, and I know there are hundreds of thousands of people listening to us at this very moment. I believe that I've got people shouting. I've got people standing up with their arms and hands in the air.
No, they're
Hallelujah,
not.
Praise be.
They're in line.
Am I right, children? Am I right? Somebody give me a stop shouting out there.
Stop
Amen,
shouting out there.
Stop shouting, Hallelujah.
Yeah, you know where they are, Reverend Billy.
Come up to the altar.
Reverend Billy.
Come up to the altar.
Reverend
Take
Billy.
Your clothes off and submit to the stop shouting ritual. Hallelujah, praise
Reverend
be.
Billy,
you understand that. Mickey Mouse is the devil?
Yes, he is. Reverend Billy, do you know where people are right now? They're at the Apple store in line to get the new iPad. That's where they're
at.
They're not at your church. They're at the Apple store.
No, Brother Glenn, God, I hope you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. I guarantee you I'd flip on the news right now. That's where I'd find them.
And Brother Glenn, you get me depressed now.
I'm sorry. It's the truth. We are a capitalistic society, and you got to get on board, earn as much money as you can, however you can, and buy stuff. If you love America, you will buy.
Brother Glenn, I don't love America. I love people. And I love you, and I love the shape of your fine butt. Hallelujah. You don't understand. If I'm not in New York City, that's all a myth. No, I never left Houston. I'm talking to myself and right outside the front door of KPFT. Don't you understand that? I want to take you on a date now. I want to go out and have a good time in Houston. Yeah, hallelujah. Let's go find Rick Perry, have a threesome. Please be. We can stop shouting together. Amen. Hallelujah. We can enter some kind of anti-consumerist nirvana together. Praise be. We are the 99. Oh, man, the 1% is just going to be delirious with a dazzled, hallucinatory, paranoid, schizophrenic moment. We're going to give it to them. We're going to give them the poison pill. Jamie Dimon's just going to be somersaulting from the 60th floor. Hallelujah. Praise be. We'll catch him. We'll catch him in a mattress and take him home. You know, and put him into a loaf of bread. Yes. Kind of roll him in the dough.
So how have your hands been feeling after laying them on these Goldman Sachs people and saving them from themselves and healing them? Are you feeling okay? Is there any cooties?
Sometimes you get bored with your own magic. You know, this is the home of Spider-Man and Superman and all the Gotham Marvel people.
Yes,
and
this is true.
And, I'm grabbing those Starbucks cash registers and shaking the demons out of them. We did that for years. Now it's the big banks. You know, we go into there's nothing quite like a good, scary bank lobby, you know, and go in there and sing a song and slip a note through the teller hole demanding $87 billion immediately. For investing in mountaintop removal and tar sand and fracking, hydro fracking, and all the rest. It's all I can do. You know, Scooter, it's all I can do. I mean, what else can I do? I mean,
you're in the middle of the frack, the Sacramento frack of the lands.
Well, directly to the west, Pennsylvania has been badly victimized by hydro fracking. And that's where Josh Fox, who created that film, in New York State so far, you know, they're running into an avalanche of progressive people here. And so they have pretty fierce rallies. But in Pennsylvania, the governor supports it. And I'm afraid that the fracking companies, the natural gas, Chesapeake and so forth, are coming in and making lease deals with people that sometimes need the cash. Pennsylvania's not a wealthy state, or at least there are lots of individuals there that are just pensioners, just getting by.
Well, as you know, wealth has a lot to do with not living on top of natural resources. If you live on top of natural resources, you usually are very poor. I would cite West Virginia or Libya or
Anywhere exactly. in the Middle East. Yes.
Sacrifice communities, lower Louisiana. Well,
you have to scrape the humans off to get to the goodies.
Yeah. All right, Reverend Billy, any final thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell us about the new album.
Well, we took the you know, what you heard there at the beginning of the show is the preamble to the Declaration of the Occupation. And this was written by a working group here at Zuccotti Park in the first days of Occupy Wall Street last September. And they created this document that summarizes the prosecution of the 1%, the unfairness, in all different issues, areas from homelessness and fraudulent foreclosing to taxes and insurance and just all across the board. It's a 20-minute EP, and you can download it from revbilly.com, our church website. And we're just welcoming people to listen to it. It's an 8-song cycle. It's, I think, 18 or 19 minutes long.
Right.
And
so what you've done is
it's our music, and it's the words that were adopted by the Occupy Wall Street General Assembly.
Right. So you've taken the concepts and the wording from the General Assembly and put it to music.
Directly from, and we have some people from the. Some of the writers of it are in the choir. You know, we've got many Occupy people in the choir. So.
It's a great choir, by the way. It's actually a world-famous choir.
It's a very special community. We go into banks and we just sing up a storm, and the words are a pretty stern critique of the banking, whether it's driving indigenous people off their land and the Anuak people in Ethiopia, for instance, with the big ag financed by the big banks, or CO2 emissions, dirty coal, coal-fired power plants, and mountaintop removal in West Virginia and Kentucky. You know, whatever it might be, we have those songs, and you know, it's simultaneously a great feeling, and it's informing the people that work there and the customers. You know, we're educating people about what. It's amazing how people don't know what big banks do. I mean, people know that they've hurt us, and that they're gambling casinos in the sky. They kind of have a general vague idea that they don't help people, and that people are there's an accumulation of wow. There's a raccoon on the wire here, and a light on our house was throwing this raccoon shadow across the apartment, across the way, and it looked like a giant panther. I just had a hallucination. It was like the logo of Rainforest Action Network was on this apartment across the way. Hallelujah. A little New York moment there for you. Amen. Praise be.
Reverend Billy, keep up the good work, my friend.
Well, stop shopping, children. Ah, it feels good to talk to KPFT again. You know, I haven't talked to you in some years, but Scooter, please do stay in touch. And Houston people.
Absolutely.
And people around the world listening to this.
All right.
This wonderful station. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
it was good
Miller.
To see you in New York.
All right. Bye.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
These people talking about
all right, we'll talk to Roger.
Trying to entertain you on the radio.
Anyway, 73526.
That's the number to call.
Scooter, do a quick pitch while I add up everything.
I've been wondering if you'd let me use the phone. I have a new job, Glenn. I am the vice president for script development, Constellation Pictures. And I wanted to call my friend. His name is Mark. And he sent me a script. Let me get on the phone here and let's see. Hello, Mark. Mark. Hey, this is Scooter from Constellation Pictures Script Development. I just looked over your treatment for The Gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Needs a new title. We'll talk later. I think Bob and Gordon are close to greenlighting on this one. It's got action. It's got drama. It's original. What if God had a son? It's brilliant. And the ending, killer. I made a few notes here, and I wanted to go through them with you. You have time? You have time? Okay. Look, I hope you I hope you'll take these as some helpful suggestions from the voice of experience. No big changes. Just a few little tweaks might help you out. Get this thing out of your desk drawer. If you can shoot me a full draft, taking this into account by Monday and 23rd, we'll get a Gordon's bit of Friday on Tuesday. So let's breeze over a few points. The opening. Love the baptism scene. I have a problem with the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove. Doves are a bitch to train, and they crap all over everything. And don't talk to me about digital animation. It costs too much. Gordon will never sign off on it. I was wondering, can the Holy Spirit appear in the form of a dog? We have a great Irish setter named Churchill who's just got done shooting The Boy from Hope Street. You'll like him. He's very austere. If it has to be a bird, consider it a parrot or a macaw. They're a lot smarter than doves, and you can even teach them to say, "This is my beloved son. In him I am well pleased." Great trailer material. Here's another point, Mark. The temptation in the desert, 40 days, 40 nights. Heck of a long detour in the first act. I'd lose it. Or do the whole thing as a 2-minute montage. Possible soundtrack, Highway to Hell, Horse with No Name. Yeah, think about it. Let's move on here. Calling of the Disciples, I understand what you're getting at, but the whole Fishers of Men theme, they don't play outside the village. Here's an alternative. Have Jesus choose his disciples in a pickup basketball game. Set it in the inner city. Give Jesus some street cred. You know, open it up to the multi-ethnic thing. You know what I'm saying? I think I can get Will Smith attached as James, son of Zebedee. Well, don't worry. White audiences are okay with black disciples as long as Jesus is white. Okay, so another point here, Mark. Love the miracles. I have a problem with the one about the quadriplegic, though. In your outline, this guy wants to see Jesus, can't get past the crowd, so his friends stripped off the roof where Jesus was, and having made an opening, as you're writing it here, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. Nice idea. It's kind of tedious, but consider this. Check this out. Jesus is healing people up on the roof in an old building. Think the Beatles, like Let It Be. The quadriplegic guy gets his friends to shoot him up to Jesus in a cannon. Now, I know what you're thinking. In any other movie, it's a horrible idea. But here, Jesus heals him anyway. So a rough landing is actually a bonus. Like, no. You're like, when he lands on the roof, the handicapped guy should make a comment like, "Sorry, the elevator wasn't wheelchair accessible." Well, you know, a little humor there. So, Mark, anyway, the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. This is why just loaves and fishes? This is a great chance for a party scene. Remember the old Bud commercials? Was it Bud or Michelob? Also, we can get some serious backing with some little product placement. Happen to know guys at Mountain Dew and Doritos would give their left nuts to be part of this miracle. The next, Jesus walks on water? I don't get his motivation. Hey, it's a nice day. I think I'll go stroll across the Sea of Galilee. I don't care if he's the son of God. You don't want your main character to look like a show-off. And once again, I think your solution lies in a basketball game. Have Jesus jog past a playground in the hood next to a reservoir. Some kids are playing in half court. Ball goes in the water. His buddy says, "You lost our ball, you big loser." And Jesus said, "I don't think so." It writes itself. Okay, the Pharisees, unsympathetic clergy, are big red flag to backers, distributors. Going to save yourself a lot of grief if you pick another punching bag. What if the Pharisees were like all executives at some big corrupt chemical company? They sure wouldn't take kindly to Jesus blessing the poor shtick. So they conspire to eliminate the troublemaker. It's basically the same story, just told from a different perspective with a different situation and different characters and without all the religious implications. Check this out. If the Pharisees are in bed with the public utilities, they could co-opt Jesus' slogan, "Let your light shine without paying royalties." Then, when Jesus turns the other cheek, they turn around and sue him for trademark infringement. Just think about it. Peter's denial, I like it. Although I've seen funnier alternative. If we get Chris Rock attached instead of Peter denying he knows Jesus, the apostle tries, anyway. This kind of black humor that whites don't appreciate. The scene before Pilate, terrific, great courtroom drama. I see Malkovich or Quentin Tarantino. This pilot, I have Lisa call their agents. The only thing that's missing is Jesus' point of view. He's kind of tight-lipped and, the audience is going to feel cheated if no one so much as puts up a defense, plus the 3 days in the tomb, the resurrection, ascension. It's all slow and airy-fairy for a summer release. Imagine this. Jesus is strapped to the electric chair. The guards throw the switch. Jesus starts convulsing very tastefully. No eyes popping out or air frying. And then his body goes still. Everyone watches. Then through the power of God or whatever, Bob thinks we may have to lose the God stuff eventually. And the current actually reverses direction, sending electricity back through the switch and into the hands of the executioner. Jesus stands up vindicated and his persecutors are killed, and yet Jesus never harms them directly. It goes with a theme. It's kind of satisfying. And we could talk about the ascension. I hope these suggestions aren't too overwhelming. Mark, Bob, Gordon, and I we really believe in this script, and we believe that you are the man to write it, although we may call in Matt and Luke for some punching up. But don't worry. Your contract guarantees at least a story byline. So anyway, thank you. This is Scooter, Vice President for Script Development, Constellation Pictures. And by the way, a minor note on Jesus. Does he have to be Jewish?
You've been listening to an edited version of the Inner Side, Other Side Fun Drive program aired on KPFT Pacifica Radio, May 10th, 2012, with Glenn Urbach, Ann Morgan, and myself in the studio, the great Reverend Billy on the telephone from New York City. Music was The Declaration of the Occupation of New York City, put to music by the Stop Shopping Choir. I urge all humans of planet Earth to put your hands on the computer and go to RevBilly.com. Hallelujah, praise be. Scooter Calls Mark was written by Justin Warner, published at the Big Jewel in 2004 as The Greatest Story Ever Told, and tweaked for radio by yours truly. This and all previous Inner Side radio programs can be listened after a Google of The Inner Side. My name is Scooter, broadcasting from the Gulf Coast in Houston, Texas, and I'll see y'all next week.
Down with disease, and I'm up before the dawn. 1,000 barefoot children outside, dancing on my lawn.